son of Abraham, I mean son of Abraham, son of Isaac, he said he refers to son of David. You say he refers to the seed of God, right? Through the lineage of men, the offspring of God, through the lineage of men. So, we said something we call go back again to see. Therefore, we say they are writing the incarnation as God in man. That's what they write. Oh, yes, son of David, son of Abraham, son of David. You shouldn't be detached from what they were saying. They are talking about both the incarnation and the, I mean, they are talking about the incarnation as God becoming a man. In Matthew 22, Jesus met with Christ in verses 44. He says, I'll take it from verses 41. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, what think you of the Christ? Whose son is he? When you hear the word, whose son is he? Now, whose son is he? And quickly, because that scholar they say he's the son of David. You see that? Then Jesus now said, how then does David in the spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said to my Lord, sit down at my right hand till I make thy enemies thy footstool? If David then called him Lord, how is he his son? And nobody could answer it, neither did they ask him any further question. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you find that, so he is son of David. Son of David is refers to both the refers to God as man. Son of David will be the seed of God through the lineage of man. We saw all that. Hallelujah. And in Matthew 28, we find in verses 20, it says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and know I am with you. But you find him there at the I am of the Old Testament book. Hallelujah. I am of the Old Testament book. In Mark 1:1, he said the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He calls it the Son of God. So that's clear. So he calls him the Son of God. So that further portrays the Son of Abraham, son of David. You see that? Son of God. So it refers to God's offspring of the found through the lineage of men. We saw that and we're yet going to see it further today. Okay, something else. Alright? So look at how he wrote. Something else we didn't see on Thursday, but we'll see today, is the fact, yeah, I was written in the prophet before I sent my messenger before thy case, we shall prepare thy way before thee. So he is the one I sent my messenger. Sorry, second. Okay. So before they say, behold, I sent my messenger before thy face, who shall prepare the way before thee. You see that? Now it goes again to Isaiah. He said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Watch that. So it's very clear that when you read the scriptures, you have to go back again and read where they were writing from. They are writing the incarnation as God becoming a man, and yet they write it from the scriptures. In verse 23, Mark is talking about John. He's writing about John and his ministry, and he reads it again from the scripture, making you see that the events of the four gospels as scripture fulfilled. You shouldn't be detached when you read. Amen. You shouldn't be detached when you read. Let's read everything together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So it's clear. I skipped something, but don't worry, we'll take it later. In chapter 16, again, like I said, you find it again, he said, this son shall follow them that believe my name. 17, will cast out devils, will speak with new tongues. So they will take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, shall not harm them. Now, what's that word, my name? We'll get to that. It shall not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. So then, after the Lord has spoken to them, he was received up into heaven. Then, when the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. that automatically confers divinity on him. When he says, sat at the right hand of God, your mind goes again to the psalmist. Did you see that? Hallelujah. If your mind goes straight to the psalmist. Psalms 104 verse 1. It goes to the psalmist. Amen. So, and they went forth and preached everywhere with the Lord walking with them. So, when you are sat at the right hand of God, your mind goes to the psalmist. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. Did you see that? So, we say, ah. That means this person Jesus, this person God Jesus is actually David's Lord. Did you see that? Amen. This is David's Lord. So he confides deity on him. Hallelujah. And so they are walking with them. You have that Exodus narrative there again. God with them throughout the wilderness. Hallelujah. Don't miss it out at all. Son of God. So very vital. We get straight to John. Let's keep Luke. Let's get straight to John. John 1. Now, something very vital. John goes straight and he says, in the beginning was the Word. He finds that Greek word logos from the Hebrew word dabar. He said the beginning was the dabar. So the Word was with God and God is the Word. So when you find the word dabar there, dabar is used for, I told us amongst other things, is used for the visible reality of God. So he finds Jesus as the visible reality of God within the Old Testament books. Shows us that Jesus is the visible reality of God that appears to the patriarchs and the prophets of old. You see that? He said, this is the Dabar that has become a man. He said, what is the beginning of God? All things were made by him, and without him was anything made that was made. And he was light of men. Amen. Amen. So very, very vital. Is the reality of God within the Tatarine books? Glory to God. So, we'll ask ourselves the question, what then is the difference between the Old Testament book and the New Testament book? We said it is not Jesus, because Jesus was in both worlds. Did you see that? But not Jesus, because the Testament book Jesus is there as the visible reality of God, but not bearing the name Jesus. Did you see that? But he's the visible reality of God within the Testament book. Right? So, what is the difference? He wasn't a man in the Tatarine book, but in the New Testament book, he's a man. Amen? He died and resurrected. So, showing you that within the Tatarine books, though he is the visible reality of God, but yet it was not, listen, being the visible reality of God is not Theophany or Christophany, meaning God was not a man. You see that? That's Christophany. God wasn't. There was no incarnation. The first time God became a man, right, is within the Tatarine. It's within the four Gospels. How about for you, baby? So another very important one is that he resurrected. Very vital. But the message will be the same, yes. Amen? So I told you in both words, you have to understand the fact that faith is the same. Faith did not change. God did not change. Unbelief is the same. So, I'm teaching you what is called identification unifiers. We'll get to that in this teaching. Amen. So, you must identify what unifies both worlds. Things. God. Thing is the same. Did you see that? Thing is the same. Those are identification unifiers. They unify both worlds. So, they didn't change at any point. Amen. Satan didn't change. Amen. It's the same. Language differed. Culture changed. Language evolved, but these are unifiers. Places and locations might differ, but unifiers are unifiers. Hallelujah. Okay, follow me. Glory to God. We'll get to that. So, very vital. So, we said he's the visible reality of God. He spoke to the patriarch. So, we answered the question, though. So then, if that was God, why didn't they die? I thought John said no man has seen God at any time. We answered that question, right? We said, yeah, no man has seen God at any time. Wasn't referring to God has never appeared to people. He wasn't saying that he wasn't a Dabar. He said no man has seen God at any time as a man. You see that? So the first time we find God as a man, it will be Jesus in the incarnation explaining. You see that? So God is explained as a man in the incarnation through the lifestyle of Jesus. That's the first time we saw all that. So let's get into some quick details because of time today. Some quick things, let's pick up from where we stopped. Now, we said, in Bible interpretation, we have to take the seat of the audience of both worlds, right? So we looked at the fact that the New Testament writers, what we call New Testament writers, were interpreting from 39 books. And in interpreting from the 39 books, they will employ shorthands, right? In writing to their audience. No, they were not there. So they will employ shorthands. Now, their audience reads the shorthand, they go back to reread the narrative or refer back, they refer back to the scriptures and also to their teaching notes. Amen. Amen. Because the epistles weren't actually the teaching notes per se. The teaching notes was the notes they had when they were taught. Yes, epistles was to correct things, instruct them, right, answer questions and the likes like that. Amen. So you have to refer back to that teaching notes and then to the 39 books. That's what they had. So when they are reading the epistles, when the epistles is read, they have their Bibles in front of them and they are opening it. What are following? They are opening, they are seeing it on the scriptures. You must never miss that. Don't miss that. Hallelujah. There we go. So we in our world today, we have two worlds. The epistles and the what? 39 books. Now, why do we look at the epistles often? Because the words of the epistles, the world of the epistles is closer to us than the 39 books. So many times, it's closer than the 39 books. So what do? We look at the epistles very well to see how they apply scriptures in their world. How they apply the 39 books. How they read from it. Amen? And then we too will now apply it in our world. But reading the epistles doesn't mean you shouldn't go back to the 39 books. In fact, we read the epistles well, we will go through the 39 books again and again. That's how you're reading well. So that means I can't pick up Galatians, for example, I'm reading Galatians and I didn't open the 39 books. It's not true. You have to read everything. Amen. So take you back there. You have to go and read. Oh, what is this? I study. So discover before you read Galatians 1, even chapter 1, before you are done with chapter 1. You might have read maybe Genesis and the Leviticus number. You spend hours. Yeah, that's how to read. Sometimes you get to Galatians chapter 4, you are going back to read chapter 1 again. When it's pointing you back, John is pointing you back. You are going back. Amen? We will be pointing again back to the four gospels. You keep going back. Amen? You keep reading. And that is worship. Hallelujah. That's worship. Glory to God. So, in our world today, you see, we have to take the seat of both audiences in their world and hear what they heard. Hear what they heard in both worlds. Now, see how shorthands were employed by the writers of the epistles, one, and also, you know, it's not just the epistles that were employed shorthand. It's something that we'll get to see. It's not only the epistles that employed shorthand. Every other prophet after Moses, right, were employing shorthand in writing from the previous prophet. Who is writing from Moses? Amen. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. So you have to go back and read all the shorthand. You are reading it again. Amen. So, yes, sir. So we have to read the shorthands and see how they are used, right? From the Old Testament, we read the shorthand. So we said, the words that you read in scriptures are not English as you think, because they were not written in English. They are Hebrew, written in Hebrew and Greek. Even the Greek has its roots in the Hebrew. So they are not English as you think. And we saw the use of the word tarry. Say tarry. It doesn't mean to go and sit down somewhere. Right? When you go and sit down and when Jesus said tarry in the city of Jerusalem, it doesn't mean to sit down somewhere. Tarry is scriptures explained. So you have to go back again. What does it mean to tarry? And then when you have to look at that word to tarry, at what point did Jesus say tarry? at the resurrection. So what was the resurrection? The resurrection was talking about, was pointing to the Passover. Then you go back again. Jesus said, it is finished. What was finished? Not his work was in the boat, but the Passover is fulfilled. You get that? So he resurrected and tells them to tarry after staying with them for 40 days. And then 10 days after, watching 10 days after, the Holy Ghost came upon them. That is the tarry. So the tarry was what would happen. So when I go back and read Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, specifically Exodus, Leviticus and Deuteronomy, I will see between the Passover and the Pentecost is 50 days. And the Pentecost is a new beginning. So they are tarrying there, but not to sit down and look, but actually to work. And that is why they had the activity of praying. So you see that? So I have been short, so I have to go back and read 9 things again. Okay, they are not English as a thing. They are not. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So it's not English as a thing. We look at others also. So, since they're not English as we think, we therefore said the words. Watch it. No, they're not English as a thing. Therefore, the words will carry with it the cultural connotation of its word. The cultural connotation of its word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, stop. A question. The cultural connotation of word A, the New Testament, where is its origin? The cultural connotation of words in the New Testament, where is the origin? New Testament. Amen. So many times, you shouldn't read cultural connotations of words in the New Testament alone. You have to go back to the origin of that word, which is the 39 book, because they were not writing words, they were not formulating their words, they were writing from the 39 books. For example, the use of the word redemption, I've said it over and again, the use of the word redemption. Redemption, if you stay within the cultural connotation of the word, redemption from the 39 book, you miss it. You think Jesus had to pay price to someone. But that was the best word they could use to describe a culture that was not inherent in their own world. Amen. God, the use of the word God was not inherent in their own world, in the Greek language. It was not inherent in their world. So God is used for a kingsman redeemer. It was not present in their world. So what do they have to do? They have to go back to the cultural connotation of that world. We're in the 39 books to find out that God is used for a kingsman redeemer to show value. Oh, I value this thing. So they can bring it into their word and look for a similar word that will match it. That's why we have the word redeem, redemption there. Right? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So you have to go back to the origin of words, which will be the 39 books. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we began looking at the word seed. Let's say seed again. I discovered we didn't do justice to it and caused it completely. I skipped something. So let's take it again. Seed. So we said, in their world, seed is used for a what? An offspring, right? A son, right? Right? Seed is used for a son. We saw that in Genesis chapter 4, verse 26. We saw it. Seed in that. So the cultural connotation of the word seed is used for an offspring. That's in their world. Right? Okay. A son. So, when you hear Jesus is the seed of Abraham, we call it the seed of God as we saw it. It will be the offspring of God in the lineage of men. So when you hear the seed of Abraham, and you find God say that to Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. We're going to see what that means. See, Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. It means he's God of his promise, God of his word. But if I say that to Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, we say it doesn't mean God is not going to deal with other men. Because he has said to thy seed. No, he's saying that to Abraham, to show Abraham that he's going to come through his lineage. Hallelujah. Amen. He's going to come through his lineage. And coming through his lineage, now I'm going to give us during, see as I'm trying my best not to say something in this teaching, but during CIC, you see why I came through, or why I have to say this over again. Amen. You see. Amen. Clearly when we begin to talk about that as a Christian, you see, where I'm coming from and why you have to drop this bed man and do justice to it here. Hallelujah.
Amen. So
when you say, now what are you hearing? Are you now, did you see the echoes of a Messiah, though he was not mentioned Messiah? Right? You can hear echoes of the Messiah.
Amen.
The echoes of the Christos, though he was not mentioned. Did you see that? Amen. You see. It was clear. Or it's clear. So that's why we say the Christos, Christology is not an eventual conclusion of theology.
No.
Amen. Not, it's not a promise. I take back that by the power of the Holy Ghost. That is careless talk. Amen. Take back that. It is not a promise of a future. Christology is actually the study of theology. Because the Christos was present within that language. Did you get that? Amen. 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 What are following you? Okay. That's only the story of the testimony. So it's not a promise. Don't you find it as, okay, no, no, no. Let me arrange my words well before I'll be fought. Christology, hear me again. Christology is not just a promise. That's better one. Amen. It's not just a promise of the 39 books. It's also the reality of the books. See that? It's also the reality of the books. Because the Christos was with them. It was the visible reality of God. Okay, let me not go beyond, go faster than what I have here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, well, yet Jesus is the son of David. Now he said, God is not, when God said that to Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, you know, he repeats it again to David. Did you see that? I showed you that on Thursday. He repeats it for them to them to see. And he was referring to the throne. Hallelujah. Then I showed us that last week. I mean on Thursday. I thought I did. Okay, Second Samuel. Let's open our Bible to Second Samuel. So he says that again to, he says it again to David, 2 Samuel, chapter 7. Verse 12. It says, and when the day shall be fulfilled, that thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee. See, he goes again to seed. He said this to him. So when he says seed to David, it means the seed of God, offspring of God, right? Through the what? Lineage of man. His lineage. So that's God through his lineage. Not God saying, I'm only going to deal with David and not talk to any other person. No. He's going to deal with other people, but he's going to come through his lineage. Now let's see what he said to David. He said, then seed. He said, oh, sir, no, it's Solomon. After the, let's see. Context will reveal what he's talking about. We shall proceed out of thy bowels. I will establish his kingdom. Watch. He shall build an house for my name. Now when you say an house there, listen, Solomon didn't build a house for God. So when he built the temple, the temple was not the house. Even Solomon, when he was not building the temple, he said, he gave the disclaimer. He said, even the heavens of heaven cannot contain me. Even how much more my house? That how much was this building that I've built it? So he gave that disclaimer that he didn't build a house of God. Hello? He gave that disclaimer. Put your hands here and let's see. Second Kings. Put your hands here. Go quickly to Second Kings. Sorry, I said I'm going to First Kings. Chapter 8. Verse 7. It says, but we, God indeed dwell in the earth. This is when he was dedicating the temple. He says, behold, the heaven and heavens of heavens cannot contain you. How much less this house which I built? Did you see that? So he says it. Hallelujah. He said, give that disclaimer. How much for this house? 1 Samuel 8, verse 27, verse 2. How much for this house that I built? that the heavens of heavens can contain thee. So he gave that disclaimer. And he told us in one of our previous teachings that Solomon didn't build a house for God. No. He only had a teaching note. That was what we said, right? He only had a teaching note. So what he built was a teaching note to teach about God's house. Because if you go back to Genesis chapter 48, what Jacob saw, he said, this is the beit of God. This is the Bethel, the house, the family of God. He's making you see God is building his family in the earth. So the building that they are building will now be a teaching note for what God is building here. Amen? So be a teaching note for what God is doing in the earth. Hope you're following me. So Moses didn't build a house for God. No. Amen? Moses only built a tabernacle to point to what God is doing in the earth. Did you see that? He never built a house for God. Nobody did. Nobody did. God himself is building his house. So everything they did, because a king is a teacher. Deuteronomy 18. A king is a teacher. Watch it. A king is a teacher. So as a teacher, remember how would they write? I showed us that Psalm 78. How are words used in their words? Psalm 78. They will use prefigures. They will use a figure of speech. So the use of the temple, the use of the tabernacle is a figure of speech to show what God is doing in the earth. They are not building God a house. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. Back to 2 Samuel chapter 7 verse 12. Is it that will say, okay, verse 13 says, and he shall build an house for my name. So, when he shall build an house for my name, who will build the house? Is it Solomon or Jesus? Now, the use of the word house there is used for his family. So, we put it in John 14. In my father's family are many mansions. If you are not, I would have told, I go prepare a place for you. You see that? So, who built the family of God? Jesus. Isn't that? So basically, wasn't referring to Solomon. Okay, following me, wasn't referring to Solomon. He shall build a house on my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. He uses that word forever. The throne of Solomon's kingdom, is it still existing? No. So when you see what he will build a family and his throne of his kingdom forever, he's talking about the Christos. It's going to be an everlasting. So the man here, the throne of his kingdom forever, forever is used for Jehovah. You see that? It's used for Jehovah. So automatically, David knew this was not about Solomon. He knew automatically this is not about Solomon. We're here forever. It's not. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So, where was I? Yeah, forever is used for God's kingdom. For God's kingdom. There's no kingdom that lasts forever. Even the kingdom of Egypt collapse. Babylon collapse. So, forever is for God. Isn't that? It's for God. Let's read for verse 14. It says, and I will be his father, and he shall be my son. Did you see that? If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him and with the rod of men, and will strike up the children of men. What verse 15? But my mercy shall not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. Now verse 16. And thy house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. Watch that. Hallelujah. Thy throne shall be established forever. Now go to verse 13. Now he used a word that he says, I will establish. Oh, sorry. Yeah. verses 12, sorry. He says, I will set up thy seed after thee. Watch that word, set up. Now that word set up there is the word in the Hebrew, kum, Q-U-M, kum. But you know, I will set up thy seed. That word is used for a resurrection. It's used for a resurrection. So he's talking about the resurrection, life from the dead. So he's saying to David, his seed will come back from the dead. You see that? And I told you that is a major theme in scripture. Will come back from the dead. How are you following that? Will come back again from the dead. So it's clear. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So Moses knowing this in Psalms 110, look at what Moses says. Now he has seen what God is talking about, that he will raise his seed, he will raise his seed, set it up, yeah, David, I will raise his seed, raise from the dead, establish his kingdom forever. See, he can't be Solomon. So in Psalm 110 verse 1, he says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. So the Lord shall send out the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule down in the midst of thy enemies. Thy people shall be weary in the days of thy power. And the beauty of holiness on the womb of the morning as thou art the dew of thy youth. Do you see that? Hallelujah. Verse 4. The Lord has sworn and he will not repent. Thou art a priest forever. He gives the same word forever. A priest forever. After the order of Melchizedek. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Amen. You find the use of that word. The Lord said to my Lord. And it wasn't referring to Solomon. There's a friend. He said, Yahweh says to Yahweh. The Hebrew, I mean, they watered it down in the Septuagint. There was some sort of way, and Yahweh said to Adonai. No, it's Yahweh said to Yahweh, sit at my right hand. That is God. Hallelujah. Like I said to you, I said to us in church, that you will always find out what? Union in Godhead. Did I say it in church? By that union in Godhead, you will always find that union in Godhead. Amen? Union in Godhead. You will always find it. The Lord said to my Lord. And he's talking about two personalities. The Lord said to my Lord. Sit at my right. He's there. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So, is it a writer? So, it's not Solomon. Right? The seed will be the Lord. The seed will be God's offspring, God's seed, through his lineage. Hallelujah. Another word we are considering, the connotation, is the use of the word name. Name. Name is from the Hebrew word Shem, S-H-E-M, Shem. Onoma in the Greek, but in the Hebrew word Shem. Now, in their word, name is used to describe a person's function. Not in our world today. Amen. You know, but why? I define what cultural connotation is. Cultural connotation means you have to go back to the world and see how the word is used in their culture. Did we say that? Right? So because culture has evolved, right? Culture has evolved. Today, you don't name a child according to culture. Amen? In fact, you will go to prison, yes, some people are saying Chineke. We are Christian. All these Christians doing in Christian. Because that's not the cultural connotation of our world. Do you see that? But in your word, name is very important. What you are named is very important. Amen. So it's used to describe a person's purpose, what someone has done, what someone is doing, or what someone's function is. And we said it's the same with the word we also have another word, the same thing with the word quara, to call. To name means to call. The word quara, to call. to call, that means to give function, right? You saw that, to give function. To give function, quara. To give function. We saw this last time, Genesis 2. Abraham called, Adam, sorry, Genesis 2:19. And out of the ground the Lord formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the earth and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called every living creature, it was the name thereof. So it was the function thereof. Adam wasn't naming all the insects and Agama, Agama. Amanda. Is it Amanda? Agama, Agama. What is the name of, what is the botanical name for cockroach? You know what that means? Amen. No. What he was doing was giving a function. He wasn't calling it, he was giving a function. Isn't that? So he called that he should give function. He gave function. In Genesis 1, the Bible says, and God called the light day. He called the light day, the darkness he called night. He gave it a function. Isn't that? A function. So to call, para, is to give functionality. So give functionality. So Adam gave functionality. And in chapter 2, you find the serpent was more subtle. That is the function of subtlety. Serpent, subtlety. Amen. Amen. So that word share also is this a function? Is this a function? Adam gave them a name. He gave them a function. Genesis 2:19. He gave them function. Hallelujah. Look at chapter 3, verse 20. Let's see this. We were not here. Chapter 3, verse 20. He says, and Adam called his wife. Watch it. He called his wife's name Eve. Because this is a function. She was the mother of all living. So he used that word there, literally the word chaye. Chaye. It's the same word used in Genesis chapter 2 verse 7. It says, and God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Isn't that? Amen. So we'll say give a function to him. What about learning? Also give a function. Give a function to him. Hallelujah. And the function will be in God's plan. The mother of all living. Chaye. Hallelujah. So, what did Adam call Eve? He called Eve. He gave Eve a function in God's plan. That's what he did. A function in God's plan. Not just your name, not Eve. No, it was a function. You see that? A function in God's plan. Hallelujah. If we get to Genesis 4, quickly. Genesis 4. Verses 25. Let's read together. 25. And Adam knew his wife. And Adam knew his wife again, and bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God, says she, has appointed me another seed instead of Abel, who kills me. Do you see that? Knew and bore a son and called his name Seth. What is the function? For he said, for God said she has appointed me another seed. Did you see that? Amen. So. Yes, she missed it in calling Seth the seed, but look at what she named the son. Is that in relation to God's plan? Yes. She thought this is the seed. What about you? God has given me another seed. And that seed there, she was referring it in relation to chapter 3 verse 15. Did you see that? Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So, all along, men are named according to God's path, God's plan in the earth. You find according to it. We find another person called Enoch because of what has happened in Genesis chapter number 11. Right? The Tower of Babel. And I mean, so because what has happened is, chapter 6 and chapter 12, which is, chapter 11, I made the mistake. Because what has happened in chapter 5, right? The earth polluted the sons of God, angels saw the daughters of men and slept with them, so they polluted the earth. They polluted. So Enoch being a prophet and knowing what God's plan is, right? Knowing what God's plan is, he named his son Methuselah. He named his son Methuselah. Let's know Methuselah. He named his son Methuselah. Now, let's know Methuselah. That is Genesis 5 verse 29. He replied, God, I mean, sorry. Which implies if he dies, it will happen. That's not Methuselah. When he dies, it will happen. How do you name it that? Because Enoch being a prophet knows God's plan concerning the flood and judgment for unbelief. He says, when he dies, it will happen. Did that? When he dies, it will happen. The flood will happen. So Lamech, being the grandson of Enoch and the son of Methuselah, who is also a prophet. Maybe we didn't know Methuselah before. They said Methuselah is the longest man that lived. No, he was a prophet. Yeah. So the son of the prophet is a prophet, and then Lamech. So Lamech, the son of Methuselah, grandson to Enoch, understood the prophecy, understood what God is going to do. What did he name his son in Genesis 5? Let's look at Genesis 5 verse now. He now named his son Enoch. Genesis 5 verses 29. It says, and he called his name Noah. Noah, saying, the same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hand because of the ground which the Lord has caused. That is Genesis 3. Did you see that? Genesis 3. See, God shall comfort us. Did you see that? This is it. So they understood. This is it. This is it. Did you see that? This is it. So look at how they named their children according to what God will do. So Noah is comfort. You hear me? Comfort. The Lord will comfort us. So God, so men bear names to show God's plan, God's function in the earth. They bore name to show God's plan and God's function in the earth. So it wouldn't be lost on you if Abraham had to bear God's name. Remember I told us on Thursday, Abraham bore God's name. We are Abraham. When God changed your name, you shall no longer be Abraham or Abraham. It says the word Abraham means father of many nations. That is God's name. Amen. Father of many nations. Father of all nations. That is it. Amen. Father of all nations. That's God's name in redemption. It is working on the earth. His family is in all the earth. That's God's name. So Abraham had to bear God's name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's name. Because God is making his family. So Abraham had to bear God's name. And I showed us that when Paul was writing in Ephesians, he called God the father of all nations. He called God by the name Abraham. You saw that, right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because God is making his family in all the earth. Abraham will call his son Isaac later, in relation to what God has done. Later. Later. Jacob is now where there is not an issue. Now my Jacob. Jacob. How do you name your child Jacob? Genesis 27. Let's see what Jacob is. Verse 36. It says, it is no more rightly named Jacob, for he has supplanted me these two times. 27:36. He has supplanted me these two times. he took away my birthright and behold, taking away my blessing. Did you see that? Supplanter. That's the name of Jacob. Supplanter. Amen. Supplanter. Sharp, sharp. The sharp guy. But see, look at what God did. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. When he met God in Genesis 32, look at when they had an encounter with God. Had an encounter with God. It will point your attention back to Genesis 1. Amen. Look at verse 28. Genesis 32:28. He says, and he said, thy name, that word name there is the same word Shem. Can we say thy function? Is it thy function? Thy purpose? Is that it? Shall no more be supplanter. You know that? He has had encounter with God. Is it light out of darkness? Is that light out of darkness? Yes. Amen. Shall no longer be supplanter. But Israel. You see that? For as a priest, thou hast power with God and with man and hast prevailed. So, he called his name Israel. That's the word in the Hebrew. Sorrow. That's the word Israel. Sorrow. The word you find, I mean sorrow from another word sorrow, S-A-W-R-A-W. When you find in Hosea 12 verse 3. Hosea 12, verse 3. Look at it, verse 3. It says, he took his brother by heel in the womb, and by the strength he had power with God. You know that? And by his strength he had what? Power with God. Yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed. Watch that. He had power over the angel and prevailed. So the word there, watch it, the word there is, the word Israel implies one that have power with God. One that have power with God. That's Israel. One that have power with God. One that prevails with God. Amen. So, that's power with God. Israel. To have power with God. Hallelujah. Showing you, God makes light out of darkness. From Jacob, he made Israel. Did you see that? Hallelujah. So that takes us to Exodus chapter 3. God speaking to Moses. Exodus 3. In verse 13, and Moses said, God, behold, when I come to the children of Israel, what shall I say to them? The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say, what is his name? What shall I say to them? So when they ask, what is his name? What does that mean? Is it, what is his function? What is his purpose? So what did he reply? I am that I am. They asked for a name. He gave them, I am that I am. Do you see that? I'm going to say something. Very good. And I need to listen. I am that I am. A name for Yahweh. But listen to that. There's no name. Hallelujah.
No name.
Just function. What is your function? Say, I am that I am. Hallelujah. I am that I am. I will be what I will be. So we say both a verb and a function. So God gives them a verb and his function. So he speaks of his redemption. He's going to
Israel and they went to Egypt and he said, I am that I am. That is a function for the redemption. Then that's a function for the redemption. A function. Hallelujah. And he speaks of his humanity. Just that aside, put it somewhere. He speaks of his humanity. I am, I will be a man to redeem man. I will be. Hallelujah. What is his name? Automatically, he didn't give him a specific name. Did you see that? Did you see that? There was no specific name. But I'm authority. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah.
Yes.
You know, I just want to thank you. Jesus, I love you. With all of my heart, I adore you. I'm the reason why you came to die. And I praise you, your matchless love. I can't compare. Oh, Jesus, I love you. With all of my heart. Oh, Jesus, I love you. With all of my heart. I adore you. I adore you. I'm the reason why you came to die. And I praise you. Your matchless love, I can't compare. Oh, Jesus, I love you with all of my heart. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Oh, Lord, I love how excellent your name is. How excellent your name is, O Lord.
Your glory fills,
your glory fills the heavens.
That is me.
Beyond the brightest
stars. How excellent.
How excellent. Name in all the earth. Oh Lord, our God,
our excellence,
our excellence, your name.
It's functioning.
Yeah. How excellent your name in all the earth.
Your glory fills.
Your glory. Beyond the farthest star, how excellent your name in all the earth. When I look into the heavens, the moon and all of the stars,
that's the heavenly being.
I wonder what the Lord has found in me.
But you saved me and you love me.
But you saved me and you love me.
You've given
me a crown.
And now
I praise your name. Yes, I believe.
Oh, Lord, our God.
Oh, Lord,
how excellent,
how excellent your name is, how excellent your name is on the earth.
Your glory fills,
your glory fills the heavens
beyond
the farthest star.
How excellent,
how excellent
the name in all the earth.
Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. When you study scriptures, it should move you to thank him. It should move you to worship. You know what? I got somewhere and I just said, thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Father, I love you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. He says, I am that I am. Say, God is the children of God. I am has sent me to you. It is me. It is function. I am deliverer. Oh, glory to God. Amen. So they still in Egypt, they had different gods with different names and different things. But you know, you say, no, I am. That's my function. Hallelujah. This is my function. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. This is function in the earth. Glory to God. In Exodus 6, just some chapters away, when God has stirred them, because they know him as the God of the Father, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God of our Father. Maybe the God of his promise. Isn't that? The God of his promise. The God of his promise. Oh, glory to God. You know, they didn't know him as they knew him according to his promise. The God of his promise. And he got to Genesis 6. I mean, Exodus 6. Look at what he says. He says in verse 3, he appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob by my name, God Almighty, by my function, God Almighty. What's that? God Almighty. Remember one time like that, me and my brother got into a quest. What is his real name? Is he Adonai? Is he Jesus? No! He's the son that will call the right name. And I explained to someone, oh, and I said, whenever she calls Yahushua, things will happen. But you call Jesus, not happen. Keep quiet. Oh, obey. Do anything. Amen. Amen. Ha! You know, oh God, save me. He saved me. He loved me. You know the song? You know the song? He knew me. Love him. He said this song. You hear the song? If you get the beginning. Of God's glory. Okay. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. He knew me. Yes, he loved me. Yes, he loved me. He who made the heavens to shine. Of such mercy,
when he was on the cross, I was on his mind.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So he appeared to me. My friend went into that quiet. His name is Yahusha, his name is Yahusha, his name is this. Let's stop calling him Jehovah. There's no J, there's Israel, there's nonsense. Look at me, I'm saying it like this. Then I could kill anybody for that belief. But look at me, I was on his mind. Amen. Don't be too quick. You just have to follow your pastor. I'm not Jesus. So I could make mistakes. But there's always room to correct yourself. As long as you are praying with you. But seriously, it's Yahusha. You know Yahusha. I gave them project. Didn't I give them project? I gave them project. Go and look for the history. Let's get who want to make it known. There's a new song. As I can show, you're going to sing a new song. There was a glimpse of it. But I never knew. Just calm down, bro. Calm down, bro. In a few years, you'll do it. You'll sing a new song. You started learning to rap Yahuwah, Yahusha.
Amen.
But we're here today. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
You know, I stayed up all night yesterday. I didn't sleep at all. I slept around 4:30.
Yeah.
Just looking at this thing, the game I want to teach us. I'm just looking at it. I said, God, I'm mean. I said, God, thank you. I said, God, thank you. Me.
Hey.
So, Jesus. Me. You got it. It's not this the first time. Not that this is the first time I've seen it, though. But I just see how you saved me. Saved me from error.
Oh, God, thank you.
Thank you. You guys don't know the extent that went. So when I just thank you, I know. I know. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God.
He said, so, in fact, there are some things that we want to say here. I can't say it. I have to leave it again for another year to come that you understand the place that I'm taking you to.
But I'm saying, oh, well, thank you, Jesus.
Can't even say that.
Yeah. he said, by my name, God Almighty, my function. Now, what was he talking to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob about? The seed and the land. Read that? So how did he reveal his function to them? God Almighty. But what about God? God not his name. God is a universal name for supernatural beings. What are you hearing me? The universal name for supernatural beings. What are you hearing me? But you see the word Almighty. Almighty there is that word in the Hebrew, Shaddai. Shaddai is from the root word Shur, S-H-U-R, Shur. It's used in, listen, Genesis 16 verse 7, used for a desert land. It's used for a desert, a wild desert land. Amen! Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, yet, desert man, where does a man go to? He goes to Genesis chapter 1 verse 2. Hallelujah! God says, he goes to what God is in Genesis 1:1-3. Amen. Look at Genesis chapter 16. Genesis 16. Genesis 16. Verses 17. I mean verses 7. It says, and the angel of the Lord found her by a mountain of water in the wilderness and a fountain in the way to Shur. That's the word Shur. In chapter 20 verse 1. It says, and Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country and dwelt in Kadesh and Shur and sojourned in Gerar, where Abraham dwelt. Where's he sojourned, rather, so that we don't have issues. Chapter 25, verse 18. Again, it says, and they dwelt from Havilah to Shur, that is before Egypt, and thou goest towards Assyria. And he died in the presence of all his brethren. Hallelujah. You're talking about Ishmael. Now, look at this. Now that word shore is used for a wild land. God is talking about his promise to Abraham concerning the land, and he says, I am the land. Did you hear that? What is my function? The land. This is how God revealed himself to Abraham. The land. Shade. I am the wild land. I am the land filled with milk and honey. I am. But the physical land will be a hypodema, will be a sign, a signal for what I will do. I will be the land. What are you saying that? Hallelujah. That will be something. He said, by my name, Jehovah, was I not known to them? Stop. Jehovah. Now, he said, hey, that is his name. Let's call him by his name. Shalom. He said, by my name, Shade, was I known to them? Right? Yeah? You know that word name is tied to is the same Shen Shen function. Now when you hear the word Jehovah, what do you think is his name? Now permit me, that's the word. Now it was recently began to be called Jehovah or Yahweh. It's actually consonants. They wrote it as consonants. YHWH as a pronunciation. Yahweh, we put the consonant there. It was actually, it was given to them, not knowing that they can't even pronounce it. Amen? Amen? Glory to God. To make you see, the essence is not in pronunciation, but the function. You hear that? Function. So name is functionality. So when he now says, do not call the name of your God in vain, it's not to mention the name. No! He's going to use the name of your God without a function. Amen? Don't call his name without its function. No, you're calling Jesus, Jesus, you're calling it in vain. No, it's to call it without functionality, without its purpose. Amen. That is to not to joke with it. Hallelujah. Because name is functionality. What is his function? You'll find out the names that he gave to them that he was called by was in relation to how he spoke to them. Because in their world, names is his functionality. Very important as we see, not in this session, but in the next session, we see that it's for authority. Names in their world, word name is used for authority. Was it in my name, in his authority. Just always for authority. We'll get to explore that also. So functionality is this word, authority. Authority. So what authority? The authority that is bestowed in his function. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen? Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's see a few things. We still have a whole lot to cover. So, a one land therefore, God is saying to Abraham, that land he's looking for, he is the land. Abraham knew. That was why Abraham as a wealthy guy told us, never had a land. He never stayed, he never built a house. He didn't have a land. He knew that the land is not a physical land. He knew the land is God. So, to demonstrate that with all his riches, he didn't buy or build a house. He was moving from death to death. Amen. Amen. Because he knew the land is God. Hallelujah. The land is God. So God is the white land. God is the white land. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God is called the white land. Something else I need you to see. In Genesis 48, Genesis 48, quickly. Okay. Verses 15 into 16. This is Jacob, and he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my father Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life, long unto this day. Look at what he called God. He said, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the Lord, and let my name be named on them. Watch this. And the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, let's say this last week. What were you last week? I was supposed to say something. Okay, I said it. So, when he said, the, let my name, the name upon them, is referring to his name there, is talking about the, his blessing. What is his blessing? The same that was confined on Abraham and Isaac. Did you see that? Amen. Amen. This is referring to God's promise to them. Very vital. That is his name. No, that's the reading in context. So, let's go ahead. Now look at the 16th very well closely. He said, the angel which redeemed me was referring to God, and he called him angel. Malak, a servant. You see that? God which redeemed him, he called him a servant. A servant. So God is referred to as a servant. You see that? I'm going to show you how he's referred to as a servant. When he carries out his task himself, he's called a servant. That's what a malak, a messenger. He is a messenger. What does that mean? He's called a messenger. Look at Genesis 31. You can read Genesis 31, 11. Okay, no, let me continue with it. 11. Yeah, the angel of the Lord spoke unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, here am I. And he said, lift up the eyes and see the rams and the leaves. So the angel of the Lord spoke to him. God spoke to him. So when God is called a servant, a messenger, when he delivers his message. Right? Stop. Will he be okay when he delivers his message himself? Okay. Okay, let's do something. Not in this class. No, not. Malachi 2. Let's jump to Malachi 2. Just forget about that one. Malachi 3. Where Mark read from. Right? That's where Mark read from. Malachi 3. Okay. Are you there? That's one. Say, behold, I send my messenger before thee. He shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall surely come in his temple. Watch this. I send my messenger before thee. So you see there is that same promise of the Lord. Right? For that he said, I send my angel. Now, Mark and every writer of synoptic knew he was talking about John. Right? About John. But remember, I told you the writing subject. Now, when Mark reads Mark 1 verse 2 and reads this, he wanted to see John. But most importantly that he didn't see is that he wanted to read everything to see that it's not just John that is the angel. He's also referring to Jesus as the angel, showing you that he is also deity and then the servant in the incarnation. Let's see that. That is one. He says, and I will send my messenger and he shall prepare the way before me. Right? So is this the Lord speaking? Right? That means the messenger is not the Lord. Right? Now, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Can you see that? Can you see that? Amen. Is it a prophecy of the Christos? You'll be found in the temple. Fine. Even the messenger of his covenant. What does he call the Lord? The messenger, the malak. Is it the same word?
the messenger. That's Malach again. So we could also say the angel of the covenant. Whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come, fear the Lord of hosts. Did you see that? So you find two messengers, the two servants, the two angels there, right? The one who is the man, right? Because the word Malach is used for a man, is used for supernatural beings, right? So you find the angel who is a man, who apparently is John, and the angel of his covenant. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, following me. Hallelujah. So he speaks of two messengers, and John is the messenger, and Christ also is the messenger. So we say John is the messenger's messenger. How about that? He's the messenger's messenger. So you know that? How we say Jesus is not a servant? Jesus is God. He's not a servant. Amen. God is a servant when he goes. When he goes to this world, he's called the Malach. A Malach is one who goes with a word. A Malach is one who goes to deliver a word, a message. It's called a Malach, a messenger. Okay, follow me. Okay, follow me. So Jesus is called a messenger. Jesus by himself called himself a messenger. In Matthew chapter 20, verses 25. Matthew 20, 25. He says, and Jesus said to them, called them unto him, and said, ye know that the prince of the Gentiles has dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. Whosoever shall be the great among you, let him be your minister. You see that? Whosoever shall be the chief among you, let him be your servant. Can you see? He says, even as the Son of Man came not to be minister to, but to minister. He used that word minister there. That's the word in the Greek, diakonio, meaning to serve, a servant. So he came to minister and to give his life as a ransom for many. So that the incarnation to give his life as a ransom is that service, that servanthood. Did that? So Jesus is called a servant. Some people, because of the scripture, are arguing blindly. He's not a servant, he's God. He's a servant and God. God is called a servant. Amen. God is also called a servant when he delivers his message himself. Or carries out his task himself. God is servant. Amen. He's also called a prophet. Same thing. A prophet. You see, Jesus is not a prophet. He's not a prophet. Somebody once was arguing with a Muslim. I mean, Jesus is not the Son of God, he's a prophet. No, Jesus is not the prophet, Jesus is Son of God. I cannot make this argument to that. He's not Son of God, he's a prophet. He's both prophet and Son of God. Say, no, he's not even about it. No, he is. Just a servant. He's both servant, prophet, and God. Amen. The problem is there is that you or they are reading it in their language to be, but you understand the what cultural connotations of those words. Amen. He's both Lord, he's both servant, he's both prophet. He's called a prophet. Amen. When they show you Acts, you say, no, Jesus is not a prophet. There is Acts. Acts is not Jesus. Shut up. He's a prophet. Amen. Let's see who is a prophet. Exodus chapter 7 verse 1. Let me know who a prophet is, then you understand. Exodus 7 verse 1. It says, and the Lord said unto Moses, and the Lord said unto Moses, I have made thee a God to Pharaoh. Watch it. And Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Is that? I've made thee God. So Moses will stand as God. Aaron as prophet. Now what is the role of a prophet? He says, thou shalt speak all I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh. Do you see that? And he shall send the children of Israel out of his land. So Moses will speak, Aaron will pick Moses' word, right, and say it to Pharaoh. So a prophet is one who speaks on behalf of another. A prophet is one who speaks on behalf of another.
Amen. A prophet is one who speaks on behalf of another. A prophet is a teacher. Deuteronomy 13. Deuteronomy 13. If there is, if there arise amongst you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and give you a sign or a wonder, and the sign of the wonder come to pass, whereof he speaks unto thee, saying, let us go after another God, which thou hast not known, let us have him, thou shalt not hearken unto his word, or that prophet, or dream of dreams. Can you see that? Now, listen, it says, they come to you a dreamer of dreams, right? Or works miracles. Now, very important, look up everybody. A prophet is not known by miracles, signs, and wonders. Even though the believers perform miracles, signs, and wonders. Okay, that's what Paul, that is what Moses is saying here. It's not known by miracles, signs, and wonders. He says, if someone comes to you, a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign and wonder, and it's come to pass. Miracles, signs, and wonders, look up, is not peculiar to Christianity. It's not peculiar to Christianity. Well, Moses was in Egypt, and he told Pharaoh, drop your staff, and he turned to snake. Did the magician do the same thing? Did they not do the same sign? But we saw the miracle there. His own snake, as a snake, his own serpent swallowed the serpent of the magicians, right? That's miracle, clash of gods, I told you, that is casting out devils, right? But you see that it's not peculiar. They turned the water into blood. The magician carried water and turned it to blood. So, it is not peculiar to me. So, there's a, man of God, see miracle, the prophet of our time. Prophet is not known by miracles. Moses said, and it's come to pass. You know that? Meaning, somebody can give you, say something to you, and it comes to pass. It doesn't validate that person as a minister. What validates is now, you know what it says, and he now says to you, let us go and serve another God. So that means how you know a prophet is by what they say, what they teach. Let us go. That is another doctrine. So you don't listen to them. Amen. That is fake. So it's not the way that they do miracle that makes a prophet right. And this is in no way trying to say you should not believe in for the miracles. Right? Now you will stick your nose out. You see miracle. So we will tell you, can this be God? You can always believe for the miracles. Hallelujah. Because we are born of God. Hallelujah. For how you know a prophet is by what they say. Let's get down to scriptures. Now, in Deuteronomy 18, verse 15, just 2 chapters away, Moses now says, verse 15, says, the Lord thy God will raise unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, out of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him shall ye hearken. Then you will listen to him according to all that he desired the Lord. Now look at verse 18. And I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee. And I'll put my words. You see the prophet? I'll put my words in his mouth. And he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. Now it says, this is Joseph, right? I mean, this is Joshua, right? No, it's actually not Joshua. Joshua is the sign of it. Amen. Amen. The prophet here, if you read Acts of Apostles chapter 3 verse 19, Peter calls that prophet Jesus. So Joshua is the sign of it. Acts 3 verse 19. Going to see why Joshua came in there. And then we begin to close. Acts 3 verse 19. It says, repent ye and be converted. And be that converted. Okay. Verse 18. Verses 22. For Moses truly said unto the Father, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto thee. right? Unto you, for of your brethren, like unto me, ye shall hear all things whatsoever he says unto you. Now, he says, and it shall come to pass that every soul that will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from amongst the people. That is verses 19. We're going to go back to Deuteronomy 18:19 to see that. Say, yea, and all the prophets from Samuel to those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of this day. This is that, and he was referring to Jesus. He was referring to Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Now take note of what he said. He says, a prophet, Deuteronomy chapter 18, I don't want to read it from Acts of Apostles, Deuteronomy 18. It says, I will raise them up, not to raise them up. That's the word for the resurrection. I will raise them up from them. He said, I'll raise them up a prophet. It was used for the resurrection, but I'll raise them up to bring back alive. He said, I'll raise them up. A prophet from amongst their brethren. You see, their lineage? Is that it? Their lineage to raise from the dead, like unto thee. Is that? I'll put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I shall command him. That come to pass, I will serve and not hearken unto his words. According to my words, which ye shall speak in my name, I will cry it of him. Do you see that? And Peter will say, shall be utterly destroyed. Is that John 3:16? Right? To hearken is to believe. John 3:16-17, he that believes not stand condemned already. That is it. Hallelujah. Shall not perish. Glory to God. See, he will raise up a prophet. He will raise up. Hallelujah. So it can't be Joshua. But Joshua will be a sign of it. Hallelujah. The prophet will be Jesus. Glory to God. So Jesus is a prophet. We're coming back to Deuteronomy. Now, in John 4, verse 19. Quickly watch to John 4, 19. The following, verse 19. He says, the woman said, when Jesus was done talking to the woman, he said, the woman said, I perceive that thou art a prophet. You see that? I perceive thou art a prophet. Jesus said, no. Hallelujah. I perceive that as a prophet. And then in verse 25, he said that the Christ coming, that Jesus said, I am the Christ. You see that? And he are both the Christ, the Christos, and that prophet. You see that? Because the prophet, the Christos will be that prophet. And both the Christos and that prophet. Hallelujah. And both. In verse 44, he now said, a prophet has no honor in his own country. He was referring to himself, a prophet. So Jesus is a prophet. A man is a prophet. Glory to God, because he speaks God's word to us. He spoke God's word to us. So then, why did he bear the name Jesus? We've not entered our teaching for understanding the gospel. We're just going around. We're not going to get into our teaching. Not for today, but for this series. Why did he bear the name of Jesus? Can someone help out? Can you help out? Jesus, it's not hard. Can you help out? Why did he bear the name? Jesus is the name Joshua in the Hebrew. Joshua means Yahweh Yashah. Yahweh Yashah, or you call Yahushua. You see, Yahweh Yashah, that's the Yahushua, but Yahweh Yashah. Yah Yashah. So what does it mean?
Yahweh's salvation. But stop. Why would he now in the I'm gonna learn something for us that should be next week or up our week. That when Jesus was born, he was not the only one asking Jesus. Amen. In their world, this is in their world, the name Jesus was a known name. Amen. Amen. He was answered. The name Jesus was not just in Deuteronomy. You also you have it in she's Hagar. Is it Hagar? No, Zachariah. Zachariah. You find Jesus there. That's the name Joshua. Oh, you can use it that here. He said, upon my stone shall be seven eyes. Which are the seven seals. Seven seals. We don't teach this. We don't teach. Don't worry, everyone. But talk this with gossip. I'm going to see that. Don't worry, it's not the deal. We're going to see that the relevance of that name. Because name gives it function. Right? Gives it function. Now let's get back to. I guess I should be able to close there and then we'll take it up. Let me see if I see how sweet it is. Now, name, as I said to us, name gives it function. But stop. Where was or who was a symbol to this? How did Joshua in Deuteronomy? Right? Deuteronomy into the book of Joshua. Now, relax, relax. Joshua, the former, the children of Israel that came out from Egypt through the Red Sea, and that Red Sea experience was out of Egypt in unbelief. But they died in the wilderness because of unbelief. So they came out of unbelief. So God is going to do it again. Hear that? God is going to lead them again. Now, when you look at what they had to cross Galilee. They had to cross Galilee. In crossing Galilee, Galilee, they had to cross Jordan. So Jordan is a river that is a boundary into Canaan, right? Entrance into Canaan. Something else that is very vital is the fact that, I guess you saw that, is the fact that it's also an exit from Egypt. You're going to see that. So what of land? So that should be Genesis 13. What of land? It shows the end of Egypt into Canaan. Listen and listen well. So their first crossing of Jordan was in unbelief. So what happened? They died in the wilderness. Watch it. They died in the wilderness. They died. So God now created a new covenant. Is that a renewed covenant? Is that a renewed covenant? A new covenant. Who will be? I don't want to use word testament now. Before I go, and now jam your head with me. Let's go. How are you going? Who will now be the covenant? So, remember I said, all the new covenant is one books. Right? Amen? So what is old covenant? Is it, you say it's unbelief, found way in a people. Come on. Found where? In a people. I don't believe found in a people. That perish in the wilderness. So now Moses now is now talking about to a new generation and he's talking about the new covenant. Listen to me. The new covenant. So who will be that prophet? That is an example of Moses that will take them as a new project into that land. Joshua. You see that? Listen, Joshua, which is Yahweh, Yahweh Yasha, Yahweh is salvation, Yahweh will save, Yahweh will deliver. Watch it, Yahweh will deliver. So, crossing that young guy, Joshua,
Joshua listened, just like Jesus will do. Just like Jesus will do. This is the New Testament, right? So in the New Testament, who leads them? Joshua. So Jesus will then come. Jesus is coming. Yeah? He's coming in the name, or put like this, in the name of Joshua.
No way. Why the Joshua was wearing Jesus in advance? No way.
In that way. Right? He will not come in the name of Joshua. That told you he will be the new Joshua. Right? Right? So he went to Jordan to show that it was going to be a new beginning, a new beginning again. Now, he is now going to be the new Joshua that will lead them through the Jordan again. Us now,
through the Jordan,
like Joshua led them through the Jordan. So he answered Joshua because Joshua is the New Testament leader. Is that? Is the New Testament leader that leads them into the land of promise. So he comes in that name, Joshua, Yahweh saves. Why? Functionality. So he's going to be the same function with Joshua in Deuteronomy and Joshua, the book of Joshua. Hope you're following me. The same function. He will lead them because Joshua is the leader in the New Testament. You see that? So where's the New Testament? Where's the New Covenant? Deuteronomy. Hope you can see it. That's why it's called Deuteronomos. Another second law, second covenant, new covenant.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So he comes bearing that name, bearing that function. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we'll explore this and then more, and now see how that name is now the symbol of authority. Because names are also used for authority. Hallelujah. Amen. So that's why we hear the authority in the name of Jesus. We say the believer's authority. We say in the part, the function of Jesus in all the earth to get men out of darkness. Is that not what we said? That is the part. That's the authority in the name. So in carrying out that part, we now cast out them. Cast out of demons. It's part of the gospel. We'll see all that. Amen. Cast out demons in the preaching of the gospel. That's your fault. Hallelujah. In that name. Amen. So when Moses went into Egypt with God's name, I am that I am, what did he do? He casted out demons. We'll find that, and it will be in the preaching of the gospel. Where as he spoke to Pharaoh the gospel, Pharaoh's rejection came with demonic attacks. What did he do? He casted them out. Hallelujah. When David came to play harp, he think was playing harp for Saul. No, he was preaching to Saul. Right? Right? And in the process of preaching, he casted out demons. In the preaching of the gospel, we have the authority. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So something we will see in the coming days and weeks is the fact that the same way we have seen. Look at how God transitioned them because of the time. God had to walk with that time. Walk with their language, with their culture. When they move, he moved with them from seed. Okay, seed and land together. So they began to, at a certain point, kingdoms, territory, I mean territory, the same land. You know, as many nations began to rise, the more there was need for kingdoms. Then that culture was gradually evolving. We now start hearing kingdom, this kingdom, that kingdom. The narrative now changed to kingdoms. You know that? Kingdoms. So now we hear kingdoms. Bazaar. So we can't talk about bazaar. We're not talking about the seed and the land. Bazaar. Amen. The need of the victory or lost in the kingdom war. We can't talk about the kingdom without the land, without the seed. Amen. And then as it gets closer to the four gospels, when the Greek language began to come in and know they are getting closer, they start hearing the spirits. Remember I said, who is the land?
God is their land. So when you now start hearing kingdoms, because the gospel is territorial in nature. God is the kingdom. So his kingdom shall be everlasting. God is that kingdom. It's his kingdom we're talking about in all the earth. What are you following me? His kingdom in all the earth. What is his kingdom? What is the land? His strength. Zion's strength. That is the gospel. And it will deal with kingdoms. I trust the Lord. As I've done with this meeting, these teachings, into CRC, we would embrace the gospel in its full, complete and wholesomeness. We won't take chances when we deal with territories. I trust the Lord that every one of us will deal with territories. We'll have territories where your local church is located. That territory is your own. You will be territorial. You will be army-minded, military conscious, soldier ready. Not sure and steadfast, 6 hour follow cars that you are doing at least. Call up party. No, no time for that. You are not squadron leader. You are not doing that. But you will be focused on God. There are facts ahead of us. Hallelujah. There are facts ahead of us. We trust the Lord. We trust the Lord. That we get better by the word every single day that passes by. Hallelujah. Let's thank the Lord.